Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. We can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken it to our heart so that we can receive it, that we can appropriate it, and we can put it to work in our lives. We just praise you and thank you for that, Lord, and for the Holy Spirit that is here with us and in us, Lord, to give us revelation, understanding, and power. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to, you know, I generally, in the past, I didn't preach too much on prophecy. Some of you may have noticed that, you know, just not getting too much into it. But time has changed. And I feel that now is the time to do that. Not because, we are fearful about what's going on. But because there is a purpose that God has given us, is prophecy. His word is, the whole word is prophecy. If you really come to realize that, when you go to the word, you go, God, is God speaking to you. And that's what prophecy is. Okay. One has to distinguish between the gift of prophecy and what prophecy really is, because it's a completely different story. Okay. But the idea is that we, you know, today we need to connect with the prophecies concerning what God is going to do and what is going to happen. It's not just God is going to do things. You know, so that we understand and we have the instruction that God gave us on how to handle those situations, how to understand what's happening, and how to be able to deal with the things that happen without being afraid, without being affected in any way. See, once I believe that much of the emphasis of what is thought is wrong because you see the believers that are more afraid than anything else. Wrong approach, wrong thinking. That's not God's idea. God's idea is that we should be excited. That we are in a time that is different than all the times before. And we are going to see his power in operation in a much better way than has ever happened for 2,000 years. And we have to understand. And I'm not saying that. The word says that. Because if I say it, doesn't matter. See, we have to go not by what we think, not by what focus on or whatever. We have to go by what the word says. And the problem, you know, the people are afraid about these things, that the things are going to happen, is because they haven't read the word properly. They haven't read what is written there. They just focus. You see, our attention is generally caught by negative things. The things that we want to protect ourselves from. We don't need to be afraid of negative things or things that we, because he is the one who protects us. And he has planned everything so that we are protected. And he's showing that in the scriptures. And he has done that over and over and over again through the centuries. So we should be able to know and connect to the word in the right way instead of connecting it in the flesh the way the world does. Okay? So I'm going to, if you think about what I've been doing the last little while, you know, just before the blackout, I was preaching about peace. Okay, lots of people during the blackout didn't have too much peace. Okay, that was just preparation. See, that's the way God works. He prepares us. If we listen, then we are equipped and prepared to deal with the situations as they come our way. And this is why he, you know, give us all the promises and all the prophecies in the Bible, so that when the time comes, we can see, oh, see, here it is. That's what it is. But if we know, we are connected with the Holy Spirit, then we are going to know what to do and know when things are going to take place. We may not know exactly the moment, but we know when, what's happening, what is moving toward. We want to see, actually, how ever so much of the prophetic words that Jesus did and others did concerning the end times are all connected together. And often, even things that are not connected to end times that Jesus said are still connected. Because he was referring to other things, but apply using that as a mean to communicate also some that truth as well. And we're going to see even that. Now, you know, one has to realize one thing, and this is something that we have to be solid rock on. The fact that God is a good God, and everything that does is good. Okay. And the devil is not just as powerful as God, he's lost and has lost the battle already. The problem now is people. The people are the problem. See, all the mess that we have is because of what's going on, because of what men are doing. Okay? Now, you know, in Genesis 1:31 says, you know, then God saw everything that he has made, and indeed it was very good. See, that's the way God works. He does very good thing. Okay? So the evening and the morning, and they were the 6 days. So when he finished his work, he looked at it and said, yeah, I like it. That's good. And that's the only thing, the way he works. He doesn't do half jobs. You know, some people don't like themselves, but God doesn't do half job. You just give the chance, you know, and listen to God and develop the way God wants you to develop. You're going to see that you are not second class, or you lack nothing for what God has planned for you. You got everything in the best way because he knows better than you do. And the fact that you don't understand it about it, you feel bad about yourself. We have to change the way we think to connect with God, so that we start thinking the way God thinks. And we can, because we had the Word, and because we had the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, Jesus said that, repeated that, you know, in the scripture everybody knows, John 10:10. You know, the thieves come but to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life more abundantly. So you see, you know, this is a message that is repeated over and over again. Okay? Now, not everything is good now. Okay? The world is a mess. Okay? But God is still the source of all good things. Amen. And there is no confusion. It's not, you know, the bad things, oh, that was going to end up good. That depends on the way you take it and what you do with it, and if you get God to move in the situation. Only then it's going to be good, you know. James 1:16 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Following verse, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation of turning. Okay. Of, wasn't your idea, was his idea, of his own will. He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be the kind of first fruit of His creatures, of His creation. So you see, He has a plan, and His plan is a good plan. He is the best plan for each one of us if we line up with Him and we allow Him to take over our life. Okay? We are sometimes, you know, agree with that because it sounds good, but when it comes to the time, we really shows that we don't agree with it. We have to be honest with ourselves because, you know, it happens over and over again. Then we are at the point in which we have to make some decisions according to God's will. We end up making decisions according to the enemy will because we are caught up into the things that we shouldn't be caught up. And this is why He gave us the Bible, so that we have some understanding and we give us receive the instruction that we need to be able to make the right choices, because it's everything about choices. We have to choose the right thing, and are going to choose the right thing because we think right. You know, the heart, I'm going back there because, you know, the heart is the place of which where we make the decisions, in which the things are written there. The judgment that we make about things are written there. This is why God looks at the heart. Doesn't look at the exterior. You know, it's those judgment, the way we evaluate things that make the difference. This is why we choose one thing rather than another, because we value something instead of the other thing. And so when we don't value the same thing as God value, we're going to make a different decision that He would, or that He wants them to do. Now, okay, the thing is, when we make the decision that God wants us to make, then things always turn out well. Always. Because God doesn't make mistakes. When we make the decision, it's our ideas that we think, oh, this is the way to do it. Even if sometime, you know, we are deceived enough to think that that's the way God wants us to do it. Okay. Then things don't work out. They say, oh, God, why didn't you, you know, why you told me that, when instead He never told us that. God doesn't make mistakes. You know, it's amazing. Today there is so much confusion about prophetic stuff that, you know, they made their own new theology. Now you can make mistakes and be a prophet, forget it. You know, there is nothing changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. If you are a prophet and you make a prophecy, you open your mouth, you better make sure that it's God speaking. Because otherwise you're going to be in trouble and bring other people in trouble. You know, always God, when God says something, He may give conditions sometimes for that to happen. In that case, you know, if the condition is met, that's going to happen. You know, I'll give you an example. I mean, to the most small detail are accurate. You know, when Daniel, for example, you know, prophesies about when Jesus was going to come and given all the weeks and the days. You know, calculations were done by the Jews, and, you know, they can do them today as well. You know, and the day were, from the day the prophetic statement was made, was 18,800 and some other days. Days, not seasons. And the day Jesus entered in Jerusalem and over the donkey was exactly that date in which was established by the prophet David. Exactly the same day. And the Jews knew it. That's why they didn't like it and they killed him. Because that was not the Messiah that they wanted. I mean, they knew that. Everybody was expecting it already. And that day was established before. So what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is this. You know, when God prophesies about things, you end up getting feedback. Just it's difficult. We are getting a new system. So the old thing new. Throw this stuff away and get some new stuff that works well. Okay. So where was I? See, what I'm saying is, when God says something as a purpose, it is to prepare us so that when it happens, we know that it's happening. Amen. And not only that, so that we prepare for what's happening. So that we are ready to deal with it. But if we have an idea that is contrary to his ideas, we are going to oppose his plan, even if we know it. And I believe lots of believers, lots of people call themselves Christians, are going to not be raptured because they are going to reject when Jesus is coming back, because it's not his way, their ways. Because, that's not the right time. We are going to see who determines the time for that to happen. Yeah. See, it's not our choice. And only those that line up with certain things are going to be able to experience what God has prepared for them. And that is very clearly established in the scripture. There is no confusion whatsoever. See, because God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says very clearly, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as all the churches and the saints. So the idea is simple. You know, the confusion means, you know, is the work of the thief, the work of the devil, the one who comes to mess up stuff, mess up your life. Okay? That's not the work of God. Okay? He wants to establish peace. You know, the word was used all the time in the Old Testament was shalom. It actually included everything that you want to do, you know, everything that has to do with salvation. You know, really, only when you have peace, you can receive from God. Okay. So we have to get to that place. God wants us to be at that place. You know, and peace is not something physical. Shalom. It's something spiritual. It's a spiritual condition in which we are. Okay? Has to do with tranquility, prosperity, blessings that are coming from God. All right. Confusion instead, you know, with all the work of the enemy. Okay? Is this instability, disorder, confusion, everything that comes from him, anything that was damaging us. So you can see there is a lot of work there, and because the people are submitted to his the enemy ideas. And the more people are going to be submitted to those ideas, the more is going to be confusion up there. Now, the point is, you know, inner spiritual states are much more powerful than physical states. You can change physical states from a spiritual place. You cannot do that the other way around. So the idea is we have to realize the importance for us to have the right spiritual condition, the right spiritual state, to be, for example, in the place where God wants to be, which is peace. Peace with him, peace in general. So that we can operate from that level. And all the physical conditions around us don't matter anymore. This is what Jesus said when he said, "My peace I give to you." You know, this is what he said there. It was very clear what he was implying. In fact, that, you know, when you, it was not in the world, because the world will give you tribulation. Okay, he said, but that's, I give you peace, and doesn't matter. Therefore, let your heart not be troubled. That means you can do it. He wouldn't have said that, and it wouldn't be unfair for him to say, let your heart not be troubled when you cannot do it. Okay, he only asks us to do what we can do. Amen. But we have to agree with him. We have to be align ourselves in our thinking and our ideas with him, and be focused the way, you know, operating the way he wants us to operate. When we do that, then we are in the right place to achieve all the physical things that are necessary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can't remain in peace, no matter what is going on. Now, it's not automatic. Okay? You have a part to play. See, you have to want to remain in peace. You have to have the understanding. Okay? Now, the way we react to the circumstances we experience depends on what? On the judgment of our heart. See, the way we see things, we interpret things, and we react in the best way possible that we think is the best way possible. So if we see a car coming toward you, you know, the best way that you can think is, you know, it's going to hit me and you get out of the way. But not always that easy. Often our judgments are wrong, and so what we are going to do, because something happens around us, we end up doing the wrong thing. And so instead of resolving the situation, actually, we make it worse. But if we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, see, we need to be connected with the Holy Spirit, who is going to guide us step by step in the things that we have to do. And is that's what he said his job is. But if we are not connected with the Holy Spirit, if we are not in continuous union with him, you know, and we are affected instead by the things around us, what we are going to do is get panicky, get, you know, in panic, you cannot hear anything from God. The only thing you hear is what's going on in your senses. And you say, I'm, you know, you are there, not able to cope with the things, becoming hysterical, or maybe incapable of making the right decision, you know, sometimes completely paralyzed by fear. That's not what God wants. He gave us peace so that no matter when we see things coming, when we see not the car coming, but maybe something bigger coming, then we realize, wait a minute, you know, I have to do something here, otherwise this is going to happen, because it's very clear it's moving in that direction. You make the right decisions and you are free. So you can see that happening over and over again, because of God's prophecies. How did Noah, God was delivered from the flood? God told him. He believed what God said. He acted the right way. He prepared for 100 years. And when it was the time, he was ready, jumped into the boat, and away you go. Lot the same. Somebody hear from God, you better. This is why, you know, the important, you know, prophets are, whatever God does, speak to the prophet, and you better learn to the prophet, because that's going to be bringing blessing to you, not the curses. So the idea here is for us, you know, not only that, but there is even something even more interesting. You know, when Jesus made a prophecy about the temple being taken down, you know, and there were other prophecies at that time too. And the Romans sieged Jerusalem. They were there, and they were, attacking it, and being there for some time without really getting into it. Then the general that was running after the place was calling Rome, because they probably was making some decision that what they were going to do. So there was just a short period of time in which the siege was relented. At that time, it was a prophecy for the believers. The believers believed what Jesus had said, number one, and then there was a reinforcement of that. And they got out of Jerusalem. And the Jews stayed inside Jerusalem. 1,100,000 Jews were killed. Not one Christian was killed at that attack. All of them were delivered free. This is historically written. Why? Because somebody believed in the prophecy. That's the difference. You see, that's the way it works. Prophecies are given to us so that we don't get into the problem that the world gets, because God wants us to set us free. God does want to keep us free. And has given us all the information that we need.
In Armenia, there was a prophet, and the people, Shukarian, they believed, they went to escape everyone else but killed.
That's right. That pattern is the biblical pattern when things go bad. So when we understand that, we understand that we don't need to fear bad things coming. Because with the temptation, God provides a way of escape. And we can go free if we listen. You can force people to listen to a prophecy. Are you following me? Okay. So the important thing, all this is what I'm trying to get to you, and I'm not going to get even half of what I prepared for today. And, I'm going to take a few weeks to go over this. But I think it's going to be worth for it, because, if there is any sense of fear or any sense of, not being comfortable with the times we are in, you're going to change completely your attitude. So you start moving with God instead of moving with the world. Okay? Now, you see, the key is, we know in the Old Testament, they knew that, and, it's given in Proverbs 5 that I keep repeating all the time. But that's really a key scripture that we had to align ourselves up with. Okay? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That doesn't mean that you anything you understand. You have to see what you understand. If your own understanding is not that good. Okay, but when you have a scriptural basis, when you have God speaking, God saying it, that's a good basis, that's a thing to stand on and to depend on that. Because that's going to be making the difference between success and failure. It's going to be the difference between your ability to overcome the situation or being going under for it. Okay? And that touches all the areas of our life all the time. If you follow the following verse, you see the impacts everything that we do. You know, your way, acknowledge Him. The word the acknowledge is Yada, which actually is not just acknowledge, God is there. No, Yada means really that, it's a personal knowledge of God. Okay, it's a personal relationship that you have with Him. So it's the personal relationship that you have with God that determines the connection that is there for you to be able to have that. Now we have the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that in which we should have the Yada in a personal way, so that we can receive. It wasn't even there before. But they understood the process. And some of them did that. But every believer that is born again, especially Spirit-filled, should be able to connect at that level. And to have that he had a relationship with him that is not just a God someplace, somewhere, but it's a God that is real right now inside you. Amen. Are you still there?
Yes.
Are you coming along? You know, I mean, this is exciting stuff. This is, you know, if we really get some of this stuff, you can't sit down anymore. You have to have a glory fit. No kidding. You know, sometimes I hardly can sit down there. Anyway. Let me show you the areas that it's going to touch. You know, that's going to, you know, you will acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So you need direction, you know the decision you make. Okay. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So you see, you know, it's not what you think. You go to the Word to find out what you have to think. You go to the Word to find out how to make your decision. Okay. And, you know, depart from evil. I mean, fear the Lord. Realize that the fear of the Lord is not that you're afraid of God. It's that you're afraid of missing what God is trying to get to you. He talks to you 24/7. How much do we hear him? We need to understand that he talks to us all the time, but if we are busy listening to other things or the news or the other, we are going to believe and hear the news, and those are the things that we are hearing. That's not what is going to make our life successful. That's going to make you depressed. They're going to make you a failure, like the old world is. Now, you know, fear the Lord and depart from evil, and will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. So your physical things, their health and so on is taken care of. Okay? Not only doesn't stop there. Okay. So your barn will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflow with wine. So you know, your business, your finances, your situation is going to be taken care of. This is what we can experience when we have that yada relationship with him. He's not being religious. He's not going to church on Sunday. He's not doing the things that all religious people do. You know, he's not even praying. You can be praying yourself in a hole. You have to pray according to the Word. You pray the way God thinks. Okay? So, you know, and there is, you know, everywhere, all over the place, is repeated. It's not just, you know, you can say, well, you know, you take two or three scriptures. It's all over the Bible. You see, that's the interesting thing about the Bible. It just does, you don't come up with a theology or a theory by one or two scriptures. It's generally, it's reflected everywhere. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you are even going to know, you are going to know that. When you get some new revelation, new understanding, the Holy Spirit brings to you all the scriptures that are there, one after the other, so that you know, yeah, I got it right. I can't be wrong because all the scriptures say the same thing. That's the interesting, that's the exciting part. Old Testament, New Testament, you know, Revelation, they all say the same thing. Repeated over and over from different angles, different ways. But there is so much consistency in the Word. The people say that the Bible is not accurate. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have the yada experience. Okay. So, you know, even the New Testament, 3 John 2, you know, beloved, I pray that above all things you may prosper and be in health, but just as your soul prospers. So you see, that's where the things, and your soul, you know, part of your soul is your heart, and the heart, you know, is where the decisions are made, where the things are, you know, is the part that is difficult to change. And is the part that has to be lined up. That's the part that has to be lined up with God. So, and to do that takes time. Takes effort. Now, okay. Trusting God. Trusting God is the key most important thing that we have to have. Without that, we are not going to get very far. Now, you know, you want to see how much you trust God? A simple test. How much you depend from your circumstances? Everybody's quiet. How much do you depend on the circumstances? How do you react to your circumstances? See, the reaction to your circumstances, it takes, is before your thinking. Your thinking will say, oh, I agree with God. But if you don't agree with God, when you know, you're going to react according to the things is written in your heart, not the thing you're thinking. Because there is no time to think, to react physically. Are you still there? So sometimes, you know, what happens when something is affecting you, is scary, or whatever? That shows how much we trust God, how much trust we have in Him, okay? Our flesh is really the way we are programmed, okay? And, you know, if your flesh is taking over at a particular moment, the recording that is there that does not line up with God, so you're going to make the wrong reaction, you're going to make the wrong choices, you're going to fail. Going to produce problem more than benefits. Are you following me? So this is why God, you know, care about the heart, because He's trying to make you change your heart so that when the time comes, you don't think about the wrong thing, you just make the right choices automatically. Okay? Now, is that possible? Absolutely, and this is why we have to understand, as the renewal of the mind is a very important process, and is something that we have to work on if and produces the changes we want in our life. I mean, not just the changes spiritual, the changes physical. Because the physical situation is nothing else than the results of the position of your soul, of your heart, the state in which your heart is. Now, you can have said the sinner prayer, other things, but doesn't mean the heart is not changed for certain thing. In fact, it takes a long time to make changes there. When we have trust in we trust the Lord, when a situation comes that is difficult, a situation comes that we don't know what to do, or that, you know, it's affecting us in an area, you know, we produce, you know, we expect to produce something bad or something, we have the choice to react in the flesh, or react according to the Word of God. And now, if you don't know what to do, what you do? One simple thing. You look at God. Okay. You go to God. Okay. This is what really, and that is why. Why? Because we have to keep our peace so that we can keep our relationship with God, so that we can hear the next things. What is the things that we have to decide? What the step we have to take? Okay? This is not just religion, this is practical life. Okay? And so we understand that when we are in those places, okay, the only choice we have, if we don't know any other choice, we have always got to look at God. Get closer to God. Trust God. Because any decision that you make out of the trust with God, in unbelief, is going to produce negative things, not positive things. Okay, so, you know, Isaiah 26:3 says exactly that. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in you, because he trusts in you, trusting God. You cannot look at God if you don't trust God in a situation that is difficult or you have a problem dealing with. Because you are going to try to do. I mean, what we do? We want to control the situation. We want to do something. If you do the right thing, it's good. But if you have the wrong things inside you, you're going to do the wrong thing, so it's going to produce more problems, not decrease them. You think it's going to do better. Are you still with me? So this, you know, going back to Isaiah 26, verse 33 and 4, I'm going to read the, both of them again, because this is stuff that we have to get so imprinted inside us. Okay, so much part of us that we don't think about it anymore is the natural thing. Okay. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in you, on you, because he trusts in you. Then goes on, trust the Lord forever. For Yahweh, the Lord is your everlasting strength. So this is where strength comes. That's the way you have the strength to deal with any situation you're going to be in, because God is inside you and empowering you to overcome. But if you don't focus on him, how are you going to hear him? How are you going to do the things that he wants you to do? You're going to do like the Jews that they were there, they were surrounded by the Romans. We are going to fight and win because they got all charged up at themselves, believing in what they believe was the wrong belief. You know, we can get prayed up, worked up, and everything else, and we think it's going to work that way, when instead, you know, we have to listen. Because we can just... Let me add something here. There's a plan to talk about. You know, all the wrong theological things developed in Christianity come from mystics. They were Christians meditating, but meditating on the wrong stuff. So they got the wrong results and come up with the wrong theology. So we have to be very careful what we meditate about. But that doesn't mean you don't meditate. Okay? Just because you can have a car accident, you don't stop going using the car. Okay? You use the car wisely. You learn how to drive, and you are driving carefully. So that you know, you just for not for yourself, but you think about what the other person is going to do and make the right choices. Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay. So, if you don't trust God, you won't be able to focus on him. You don't be able to connect with him. You cannot keep your peace, the peace that he wants to give you, to you. So if you want to keep the peace of God, you have to start trusting God. But you know, you trust that God is going to increase as you experience the yada relationship with him, as you open yourself, as you allow what is, when he speaks to you and respond to him and hear him and implement that, those things, those decisions, those things in yourself. You are not going to be able to grow spiritually if you don't do what God tells you to do. Doesn't matter how much of your own ideas and how many books you read and how much you study, you can have a PhD in theology and be not even saved. Praise the Lord. See, your strength, the only strength that counts is the spiritual strength. You can have muscles that big and die of heart attack. Okay. But you can have be skinny as a bone and you have some spiritual strength that can move a mountain. Okay? So that's what we have to do. We have to understand that he is our strength. And so we had to go to him to get that strength because we cannot make it ourselves. Slow down, son. Anyway. Okay. At least I'm going to get to a place here. Okay. So Jesus promised peace to us. That's the thing we have to keep. That's what I want to impress at least with you today. We have to keep our peace. And when keeping our peace is not that we don't say anything. You know, keeping our peace means that the peace has to be inside. We have to be in our heart in a position of peace. Okay. When we do that, then we are connected. Then we are in control of our feelings, our emotions, or the situation we are in. Because the situation is a physical thing, we are spiritual beings. And spiritual beings are stronger than all the physical conditions. But we have to learn to operate as spiritual beings. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? This is what Jesus said, you know, my peace I give to you, not the one, you know, the word that gives you. In your heart, let not your heart be troubled. That's the thing. Neither let it be afraid. So just stop that part there. Realize when that taking place, it's not automatic. You have to, sometimes that starts by itself because it takes, you know, a fraction of a second, a millisecond to produce those things. But as soon as you realize that, wait a minute, stop right there. Just change your focus. Change what you look at. Change the things what you are thinking. Start focusing on the right thing. Pick your Bible. Just take some of the scripture. Hopefully you memorize them so you know them so that you can quote them to yourself. Okay? Now, now, unfortunately, time flies. Your reactions, that's a good indicator to where you are spiritually. Okay. The way you react to situations, the way you respond to things happening around you, other people or events or the news or whatever. You know, some of the things completely useless, you can turn off the TV and it doesn't bother you anymore. Okay. But you have to get to the place in which you believe that turning off the TV is going to help you, because if you think you have to know everything, then you are going to be caught up in that. Okay. So you have to get to the place in which you trust God. You trust that he's going to tell you the things you have to know. Okay. Praise the Lord. So that's the best place to start from. Okay. When the same thing is when you, for example, you read the Bible. This is why I always say, you know, you read the scripture. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the scripture you just finished reading? Oh, yes, you agree. You know, but Jesus struggled with me. Yes. Yeah, but how do you really feel about it? Well, it's hard to get it. So that's the truth, believe, not the other. Okay. The point is, if you realize that, you understand the way it works, then you can do something about it and turn it around. Okay? You can stop yourself from thinking like the devil wants you to think. And you start thinking the way God wants you to think. But you know, for that, there is a lot of changes that need to be taking place inside our thinking, because we have been trained by the physical world. And the physical world is where the mess is. The only place that is, not messy is the Bible. Because, I mean, that reflects the message in the world, but they also present the solutions, present the approach to take and everything else. So that is, you know, in many places, and you know, for example, for 2 Timothy 1:3 says very clearly, know that in the last days perilous time will come. Now that was said just not long after Jesus died, you know, so the whole thing has been said for all this time. So he said, well, in fact, you know, perilous time has been all the time anyway. You know, there is perilous and perilous.
Amen.
Okay? Things can get, you know, there are some times they're not that bad, and some other times they get worse.
Yeah, worse.
Okay? Well, now it's very much worse.
Yeah.
Because now it's not just a localized little problem. Now it's a world global.
Amen.
Globalism problem.
Amen.
Okay, that's the problem. So that's where we are. That's the thing we are moving in, and we have to understand. But you know, that doesn't matter how big it is in the physical. We are not of this world.
Amen.
We are not of this earth. We are pilgrims here, and if unless we feel ourselves that way, we are going to be bound like everybody else. So we have to accept the fact that this is just temporary. And that, you know, really the real stuff is the stuff you don't see. The stuff is inside us. Where we are really there, that's what makes a difference on the things that you're going to see outside. When we start understanding that, okay, then we start looking at things in the troubles and stuff like that in a completely different way. Start listening at the news, and you say, you turn it off, and say, oh, it's the usual stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You don't get sucked into their way of thinking, because that's exactly what the devil wants you to do, because that way you are bound by those ideas, those thoughts, and he can push you around, and you cannot hear God, and you cannot have his direction. So that's the thing we have to learn to start with. See, and this is why we really need to look at the Bible. See, you are not going to listen. This is another thing I'm going to just tell you for today. You're not going to be able to hear from God speaking to you personally if God doesn't speak to you through the Word first. God has to be able to, you know, you shouldn't be there wanting to hear a voice from God. You should be there wanting to read the Bible and see what is there. When God starts to speak to you through the Bible, then you are going to be able also to hear personally. Are you following me? See, this is critical because people want to be spiritual and they are not there and they can't get anything because they don't have that yada relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just work on the stuff that you can. Then God does the other part. Okay, well, I think less than half, but that's okay. Generally, that's the way it is anyway. So I think I found a good place to land. And we're going to close at the moment. But I want to just encourage you. You know, I want to encourage you to make some decisions, to start making some decisions. Okay? How do you look at the Bible? Like a book that you had to study because God wants you to study, because maybe pastor told you to read it and you just, you know, talk about the Bibles all the time, or because you think that there is the life there, that you're that's the source of your power. So if you don't think completely that way, I call you to make that decision today. I'm going to believe that the Bible is God speaking to me personally, not just in general, specifically. For anything that any decision I had to make, I can go there and I'm going to find it because God is going to guide me to the other place, one way or another. Some way I'm going to get there, I'm going to seek until I find. And I believe and I'm going to do what it says. Amen?
Amen.
Who wants to, you know, who feels that they should make this decision? I'm the first one that I feel it. Okay. Who doesn't feel, you know, we have to do more of that. Yeah. See, but you have to get revelation from the Holy Spirit about the way the world works in you, about how to look at the world, what attitude you should have toward the world. You know, if you go according to the way the people that take it like something to analyze, you know, in any form or form, then you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to have no power out of it. The only way that you're going to get power if you see the word and you say, this is God speaking to me. You say, well, you know, a bit exaggerated. No, no. That's the way to get God's power in you. You want God's power, not man's power, God's power. That's the only way. You have to connect with him. That means you have to trust with him because he is the one who gave it to us. And so is the one where the only thing you have to do is go and take what he has given us. That was his choice. Then we are going to get into the other stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
For your word.
It's you speaking to us. Personally. Giving us direction. Understanding. Ability. To cope with things. They come away. Giving us strength. In our spirit. To be able to stand against the things of the enemy so that we can overcome because you overcame and you gave us the example to do it because you overcame the devil for us so that we can do it too. In Jesus' name, we pray right now for the anointing of the word to be manifested in our lives as we submit ourselves to your word to receive everything that you have provided for us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.